20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome to this episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast. Obviously, I'm not Dusty, Steve, or Sarah. They're not able to do the show today. So, unfortunately, you guys are stuck with myself, Jimmy Christensen, and I brought on just a real crowd pleaser in Todd Varney. So, you're stuck with us two today. Todd's battling an injury. He lost a fight to a candle. So, we'll see if he's able to make it through the show or he has to tap out because he's in too much pain.
Yeah, I dumped hot wax all over my hand and still didn't get burned as bad as Adrian Amos did yesterday. So I think we'll be all right to get through this one.
Yeah, that was, he had that one flash play, that screen, that little pass to the outs. And he blew that up. So that made up for like one bad one.
Yeah. I mean, that was the highlight of his season, I think, so far. I don't know what happened on that deep ball that he missed on. Honestly, probably one, it was underthrown. He probably did the right thing because he wasn't going to be able to stop and come back on that. If the receiver would have been able to stop, grab that, which it looked like he was going to be able to, he probably would have just, I mean, one move and he would have been gone. So probably take the PI in that case, but not an ideal season for Amos. There was also one earlier in the game where he just sat down in the zone and was guarding the sideline where there was nobody. It was one of the third and longs, I believe. And he was guarding the sideline and there was nobody in the flat. There was nobody leaking to the sideline. And dude just curled to the middle, caught an easy first down. Like, I don't know what's going on with Adrian Amos this year. In a contract year, not the best time to do that.
Yeah. So it looks like we'll have two different starting safeties next year, for sure. And then even with that too, Savage only played one snap on defense, 9 on special teams. So we made that right adjustment, but I don't think we have anyone to let Amos take some time off. But before we continue on talking about maybe the things we didn't really like in that Rams Packers matchup, what are some things that stood out to you? Obviously, we got the win 24-12. We could have had 30. Matt LaFleur is nice and didn't want to run the score up on his buddy Sean McVay. I, on the other hand, was just hoping they'd get one more touchdown just because our season needs it. We need some bright spots. If we could have another 30-point game, I would have been pumped. But what are some things that stood out to you in the game? Maybe kind of do Lombardi's bar style. What's a player you'd buy around for on that one?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Romeo Doubs on this one. It was great to have him back on the field. I know Christian Watson's been playing great while Romeo's been out. But Romeo looks like a different type of player on the field. I mean, obviously, he's got a different skill set than Christian Watson does. But I don't think the Packers have another wide receiver that does the things he does. He looks quick and athletic, you know, going in and running those routes and getting some of those passes in the middle of the field that this team's just been lacking. So I think Romeo's the guy I'm going to go to on that one. It was almost going to be our buddy Big Balls, Bob Tonyan, mostly because he finally broke a tackle.
It was
impressive. It was like a 4-yard gain, but it was great to see old Bob out there breaking a tackle finally. Coming out party, I think, for him this week. He's back.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, Bob's back.
No, I know. When he gained 4 yards after a catch, honestly, it was I didn't think that was possible anymore for him. So big balls Bob is back, man.
Yeah, the defender grabbed his ankle and I was like, oh, he's down. And he's down. Two targets, one catch, 4 yards. So
first down though,
and a first down and a broken tackle. So yeah,
great stat line.
Yeah. He's back.
No, to go back to Doubs, it was cool to see too, is like you mentioned him and Watson, completely different play styles. Watson's kind of is that big play threat all the time. And he was doing some, you could see Rodgers trust in him, that contested catch in the middle of the field, which was a really good one. Made me a little bit a little bit nervous he was dropping it just because I still have some PTSD that's not completely away yet. But Dobbs just seems to be that consistent weapon for Rodgers, where Watson might not get as many targets. You'll still get those big plays from Watson, but Dobbs just kind of provides that. I think he might, if we have Rodgers next season, whoever the quarterback is, I think he can kind of be that security blanket wide receiver. And then you have Watson just always threatening the defense anytime he touches the ball. Doesn't matter if it's a slant or if it's a go route. He can hit a home run anytime. I know for sure Dobbs had 3 first downs. His first 2 catches were for first downs. So definitely someone that I'm happy is back, and just seeing him and Watson kind of play off each other for the rest of the, we only got 3 more games left for the short rest of the season. Hopefully more, but for sure 3. It'll be fun to watch. I think for me, I've given this guy a hard time all year because we haven't really seen him perform like we did last season, and you could probably name about 20 players based on that description right there.
You haven't narrowed this down at all. But,
I'm going with AJ Dillon. I feel like especially in the cold, you know how Kenny Clark, and we saw this yesterday's Mr. December on that defensive side of the ball. I think AJ Dillon is like Mr. December on the offense. He's hard to stop in September. You don't want to hit him then, but add on top of that super cold weather. He's just a bowling ball. That touchdown should have been stopped at the 3-4 yard line, but he plowed his way through for one of his 2 touchdowns last night. He played really well, and hopefully Aaron Jones wasn't too banged up after that dive into the end zone. But if we get both of them, obviously, you know, Aaron Jones is killing it this year. If AJ Dillon's still continuing to form into his former self from last season, like, there is a real chance that we can run the table and hopefully sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, obviously, and I know we'll get into it, but some things gotta break the Packers' way in order for that to happen, even if they do run the table. But, you know, looking at A.J. Dillon's stat line, 11 carries, 36 yards, and 2 touchdowns. It feels like he had a lot more than 36 yards last night, which, I mean, scoring 2 touchdowns will help with that, obviously. But he did have 3 catches for 35 yards. He had that long one that got out there, too. So seeing him be used in the passing game a little bit more consistently, Rodgers actually hitting him in stride. It seems like that was an issue before, is those little swing passes. For whatever reason, for Rodgers being as accurate as he is, for some reason, it feels like a swing pass is his kryptonite. Like, he just can't do it. So when you hit those guys in stride, he got AJ in the one, Christian Watson on a couple of those little drags over to the left, that he hit him too. He had one of those longer ones there late in the game. So yeah, AJ had a great game. The stats, aside from the touchdowns, the stats don't show what he did, but he was big last night. It was great to have him back out there. A good compliment to Aaron Jones, because Aaron Jones had a hell of a game too.
Yeah. Which is weird. Like, his game was definitely, and like you said, the touchdowns are going to do it. You score 2 touchdowns, people are going to kind of focus on that more. But if I didn't look at the stats, like, I would have thought AJ Dillon had, or if I didn't actually watch the game, I would have thought AJ Dillon had had a more productive day. Looking at that stat sheet was a little surprising. I would have thought it'd been more than 70 all total yards. Yeah. So we did the bye round. So a couple of players that stood out in a positive way. We cheated and both said 2. Who on the other end of it? You already mentioned your boy Adrian Amos, but who's paying the tab? Who didn't maybe do so well yesterday against the Rams?
You know, I wanted to do somebody other than Adrian Amos. Because we already touched on him, I'm going to cheat and go 2 again on this one. I'm going to go Joe Barry. And it's not for the typical, because look, the defense gave up less than 200 yards.
Yeah.
Right. So it has nothing to do with the production of the defense. It has to do with, for another week, Devontae Wyatt has less than 10 snaps.
Yeah.
When he's getting in there and getting his reps, he's absolutely destroying the opponent. He's doing his job when he's in there, and they just don't put him in there. So Joe Barry can pay the tab for negligence for not putting Devontae Wyatt in there. I understand we don't get answers for a lot of stuff. We get coach speak. I need an answer of why Devontae Wyatt is seeing fewer snaps than Dean Lowry. That just it does not make sense at all in my brain as to why that's happening.
Yeah, for someone to get 9 snaps and you have half of a sack, 2 total tackles, one QB hit, like there's no reason for you only to get 9 snaps. Like there's zero reason for that to be the case. It's not like it's those 9 snaps where Dean Lowry or Kenny Clark just need to get a breather. Like he should be someone that you're putting in there consistently. And it, I don't know, at least the one hope, hopefully make the playoffs. If we don't, the first thing that needs to happen is Devontae Wyatt becomes just a starter and you let him get all the reps that he can before going into the offseason. But I'm with you. That's absolutely insane.
I will say it's starting to even out a little bit. Dean Lowry only had 11 snaps and Devontae Wyatt had 9. So it's starting to even out, but they just ran a lot of the only person or the only two guys on the line that had more snaps were Jerron Reed at 28 and Kenny Clark at 32.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it'll change. Probably not. It's Joe Barry. And it's already this late in the year. If it didn't change yet, it's not going to. Right. Did you say you had a second one? Or was Joe Barry your second?
Joe was my second. Adrian Amos was first.
I gotcha. Last thing on the Joe Barry defense, I know players have to get blamed for this too, but to allow Baker Mayfield to complete, what was it, like 3rd and 17, third and 15 they got in the first drive. Then it was later on another 3rd and 12. Two of their 4 third down conversions were 3rd and over 10 yards or 3rd and over 10 yards. And they, they line up at the marker.
I don't know if you saw my tweet last night or not, Jimmy, but my stats department did some extensive research, found out since the merger, the Packers are the worst team in 3rd and 10 or more yards. So that's my stats department. I don't trust them worth anything because it's really just my brain and what's in my head. We don't look anything up. But it feels like that there has never been a team that's this bad on 3rd and 10 plus. Like,
yeah,
you get teams get 3rd and 12 against the Packers, then they're like, we got this, keep going.
It's weird that like I almost would rather see, like I feel more third confident seeing, yeah, yeah, during like a between a 3rd and 4 and 7, I'm like, okay, we could stop this. I see like 3rd and 12, I'm like, okay, they're getting that first down. We'll stop them next time.
Yep. And the cornerbacks start backing up 15 yards. And you're like, what are we doing here?
It's insane. Yeah. But to keep with the cornerbacks, my person that just still befuddled on is Rasul Douglas. Like you get that interception. You had some plays too that just weren't great, but you finally get an interception and you act like this is a last second play. We need to get a pick six where we lost the game, and you throw it to just absolutely no one. Thank God Amos got that fumble. Save that. But what are you doing? Especially after we just saw the Patriots Raiders game.
Yeah.
The like, day before end like that.
If I'm a coach, anytime after that game, I'm telling, even going in like the next couple of weeks here, like, hey guys, remember that? Don't do it. If you think it's a good idea, don't do it. Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Yeah. But that was,
unless we specifically call the play to start pitching it, do not pitch it.
Yeah. Ever. That had to be one of the dumbest plays I've seen all season. And obviously the Patriots one is the dumbest. But Rasul, you were right in second place on that one. That was just absolutely idiotic. But to move on past that game now, I want this episode to be a little bit shorter, mainly so you don't have to deal with Todd and I for very long, because then you'll probably never likely come back to Pack-A-Day again. We mentioned a few times we're hoping the Packers make the playoffs, just like I would say most of you, unless you want them to tank and get a high draft pick, which I don't agree with, but tis what it is. Right now, we need the Packers, obviously, need to win out, beat the Dolphins in Miami, and then beat 2 division rivals, the Vikings and the Lions, at home in Lambeau. We need Washington to lose 2 out of the next 3 games and Seattle to lose 1 game. And they play the Chiefs next, so that will probably happen. Washington has Niners, Browns, Cowboys. That last week against the Cowboys, I'm not too confident in, because Cowboys already clinched, so they'll probably start resting players. And who knows with the Browns. I think my hate of Deshaun Watson is more than my want for the Packers to be in the playoffs. So I don't know how I feel about that game. But Todd, what are the chances right now? I know our chances are at like 12% or something super low like that, but we're irrational Packer fans. So like, what do you actually see happening in this playoff race? Do we have a chance?
Yeah. So according to 538, the Packers chances are 8%.
Okay. I was off.
So a little less optimistic than you are. I know that was a number I had told you previously. So I will just completely bury you on that one. Again, don't trust my stats.
I know. That was like, that was my fault for just going with it without looking. So.
Yeah. Now that you know the inner workings of my stats department, Jimmy, you should know better than to believe me. I don't know. I've said it all year. Like, this team just, until there is no chance, I will believe, because Aaron Rodgers, even though he's not having a great season, I still don't know that there's a quarterback that gives you as good a chance to win every single game as he does. I know this season and the last couple of seasons, like Josh Allen, Patty Mahomes, obviously there are other good quarterbacks out there. Tom Brady just seems to always find a way to win. But I think just like, you're never out of it with Aaron Rodgers. And you're talking, okay, so what do they got to do? They got to go beat three teams. Okay. They can do that. Two of them at home. Great. They can do that. It's, are the chips going to fall the rest of the way? And how do they respond if there's a hiccup? So I'd like to say yes. The way football has went this year, I don't feel like the football gods are shining their light on the Packers. And I find it hard to believe that everything's going to go the way that it needs to, and they're going to sneak in.
Yeah. And it is, I'm with you on that. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it happens. But then when you look at what the games need to play out with, like, Seattle needs to lose to the Chiefs next week, and that takes care of them. That's probably going to happen. Commanders need to lose to the Niners next week. Brock Purdy is the second coming of Christ. That's probably going to happen. Then you have Browns and Cowboys. Could go either way. Like, it is possible. And I think that's the part that sucks the most. It's like, I'm already kind of convincing myself, like, oh yeah, this is good. The biggest test is, I do think this Dolphins team, the Vikings at home at Lambeau, I think we have a pretty good shot against. But this Dolphins game is going to be tough. I think if we beat the Dolphins next week on Christmas, my confidence is going to be ridiculously irrational. I'm going to already start looking at playoff tickets for away games, because we won't have any home ones. But I don't know, man. Like you said, until we're out, I'm gonna think it's gonna happen. And if we get hot at the right time, then who knows? NFC is wide open. That all the teams seem to suck except the Eagles.
Well, and look at how the Packers played the Eagles.
Like, yeah, any given Sunday, man, you never know. We just need that to line up for like 7-8 weeks in a row. Let's go ahead. Just a quick preview. Like we said, we need to go 1-0 this week against the Dolphins. The offense is definitely scary. Tyreek Hill, Waddle, ridiculously fast. Mostert killed us in the playoffs. I'm never going to get over that. They're a good team. They put up a good fight against the Bills. How do you see this game going? What do the Packers, in your mind, need to do to actually leave Miami with the win?
I was feeling pretty confident, because like you just said, like, any given Sunday, and the Dolphins have kind of been, you know, up and down. You don't quite know with them. And so I was like, okay, this can happen. And then earlier this afternoon, I saw a tweet that reminded me that Raheem Mostert is on their team. And I was like, okay, never mind. This isn't going to work out well. So I'm hopeful. I think they can do it. I don't know that the Packers can get it done in Miami on Christmas Day. It feels like one of those games that they just find a way to lose.
Yeah, no. And I'm weirdly confident in our offense again, especially with Aaron Jones playing like he has and AJ Dillon starting to come back up. I think our offense is going to be fine. Their defense isn't anything to be super worried about. Obviously they traded for Bradley Chubb. He's really their, They got Christian Wilkins in the interior, but I think our offensive line has been playing fine, especially if we get Bakhtiari back, which I'm not banking on, but it'd be an added bonus. It's the defense of – it just seems like our defense is the perfect matchup for this Miami offense. They like to go to the middle of the field. We suck in the middle of the field. Yep. They're super fast. Or they're kryptonite, and the 49ers showed it. The Bills did a little bit, is playing aggressive at the line of scrimmage. We have – Jair can do that.
Not interested.
No, he's going to go 15 yards off and just say, hey, keep doing dig routes to Tyreek and Waddle. We'll let you just slice us. So unless Barry, just for the first time in his entire career, plays aggressive for an entire game, that is probably my biggest worry about this game, is just Tyreek having 200 yards by halftime because we don't play him like we're supposed to. And like the last 2 weeks have shown to play Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Matt LaFleur gets in Joe Barry's ear. I don't have the confidence in Joe Barry to think he's going to come up with that on his own. So we'll see. But for the game to go our way, our coverage has to change. The soft stuff's not going to work. But I'm not confident in them changing.
No, it's just it. And I said this going into the Bears game. This team is going to win against the Bears and go into the bye and keep hopes alive. And then they're going to come out of it and beat the Rams and keep hopes alive. And
and then ruin Christmas.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, at least it'll be somebody else's here instead of me. Like, you know, family will be happy at least. It wasn't me that ruined Christmas for once. Yeah,
you'll be the least of their concerns. All I'm thinking of is that Office meme of Michael Scott. Happy birthday, Jesus. Sorry, your party so lame. That's all that's going to be going through my mind the whole Christmas. After 3 o'clock, if we lose this game, I'm going to be unbearable. Yeah. But like I said, we're going to keep this one short. We're going to wrap it up real quick. Tomorrow you should have the normal Pack-A-Day crew back on here. Appreciate you guys dealing with Todd and I. If you have not turned it off already, if you did turn it off, honestly, I don't judge you. I probably would have done the same. But Todd, before...
Why are you telling me you're not even listening anymore?
Yeah, good point. Before we hop off, Todd, where can the folks follow you?
Yeah, jump on Twitter and give me a follow, at the Todd V. And catch me doing every other show that Jimmy does as well.
Yeah, which is Lombardi's Bar every Wednesday, 7 o'clock Central Time. Be there. On Brand Off Topic comes out on Tuesdays. Follow me on Twitter at Jimmy_C08. Go ahead, follow Pack-A-Day on YouTube, on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We're something close to that, honestly. I'm not entirely sure. But thank you guys for listening. And as always, enjoy these next few weeks of Packers football before they're gone. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.